Films in Focus with David Sterrett is underwritten by The Movie House, your destination for first-run Hollywood and independent movies, and a digital portal to the Met Opera, National Theater Live, and special events worldwide in Millerton, New York, and on the web, themoviehouse.net.
David Sterrett is the former chair of the New York Film Critics Circle and National Society of Film Critics, contributing writer at Cineast, film professor at the Maryland Institute College of Art, and Robin Hood Radio's very own critic. He joins us weekly. The films Civil War, Problemista, and Coup de Chance.
Well, I have three, I think, fairly interesting movies today. That doesn't mean that they're all good movies. And I would like to start with Cold War, which is the new movie written and directed by Alex Garland. And this is a film which is getting an enormous amount of talk. It's one of these films that has moved just off the entertainment pages and is being discussed, in the political pages and the editorial pages and so forth and so on. And I have to say, I was anticipating this movie with a lot of interest, and I found it extremely disappointing. So there you have my bottom line right at the top. Why I was anticipating this movie. First of all, yes, it was said to be a movie with a pretty strong political dimension that was going to raise important and interesting provocative issues. So, okay, I'm all for that. Also, Alex Garland has done some marvelous work in the past. His first movie as a writer-director was way back about 10 years ago called Ex Machina. And it was a sort of a feminist science fiction story, and I just found it really a good film. And then he made a pretty good science fiction movie called Annihilation, based on a mildly interesting, in my opinion, mildly interesting novel. And then a terrific TV miniseries just a few years ago called Devs, D-E-V-S. Really, really interesting. Then a couple of years ago, he made a movie called Men, which I did not find. It just didn't work. It was interesting, an interesting try, but it just didn't work. But hey, I had a wide open mind coming to Civil War, and I was looking forward to it. So here is what Civil War is about. We have sometime in the not too far future, presumably not too far away from us now, and yet it is one of these dystopian movies where terrible things are happening. And what's happened is that certain states have seceded from the United States. Texas and California have joined together and have seceded. Now there are also some East Coast states that have seceded, and the federal government, the American United States government, is fighting back militarily against this, and the president is presiding over this. So our main characters are a small crew of journalists, mainly photographers, and they have decided that they will try an impossible task. They will try to get into Washington, D.C. in the middle of all this chaos and this warfare. It is a civil war, after all, and interview the president. Okay, so that's going to be their task that they're going to try to do. So we have these various journalists. One is played by Kirsten Dunst. She's sort of the main character of the movie, and she's quite good in this role, I must say. Another one played by Kaylee Spaney, who is a young one. One of the things that I did not especially like about Civil War is that it really does use a whole lot of old, tired-out movie tropes. So we have the experienced photojournalist, played by Kirsten Dunst, and then we have the Tyro, the novice, the neophyte, who is learning about the job, and then we learn along with that neophyte. And again, it's an old movie trope, and I didn't think that was very well calculated. Anyway, Kaylee Spaney is perfectly good as the neophyte. And then there's a guy named Joel, played by Wagner Moura, and there's an older guy, an older black guy, played by Stephen McKinley Henderson, named Sammy. And he looks so heavy and old and sort of tired that you wonder if he's going to make the trip, but he does very well through quite a lot of the movie. So an interesting and, yes, very diverse cast that we have here, and that's fine. And so that is what the movie is about. They're trying to get to the to Washington, D.C. and get to the White House and get in there and somehow interview the president in the middle of all this chaos and violence and horror that is going on. So yes, provocative idea, for a movie. We all know, I think, that we live in very polarizing and polarized times right now, that people are bitterly divided against one another politically in many respects, that certain regions of the country seem to be divided against other regions of the country. If we look at their political preferences, we have the red and the blue and all of that. Okay, interesting stuff that this movie is apparently going to be about. And you know what the movie actually turns out to be? It turns out to be an action picture. And that's about all that it is. The politics are so vague, so badly defined. For just one example that I will suggest here, why would California and Texas, two states that at the moment seem to have very different overall political orientations, why would they band together? To presumably form some sort of a new country. It doesn't seem to me to make sense. I'd be very interested to hear an argument as to how that could happen or might happen or is at least a remote possibility, but nothing in the movie to explain that or, in fact, to explain much of anything. The politics are vague, they are nebulous, they are poorly defined, and apparently the director, the writer-director, the very gifted Alex Garland, didn't have much interest in this. I think that's a real miscalculation on Alex Garland's part. So what we have is an action picture. What we have is a lot of people shooting at each other. What we have are suspenseful situations as our small crew of journalists traveling about in their little car, running through various obstacles along the way. There's one very effective suspense scene when they run into a group of American soldiers, one of whom appears to be psychotic and is just willing to shoot almost anybody. And that's pretty suspenseful. It reminded me of a scene in one of Quentin Tarantino's movies, but that aside, it works, but most of the movie just works as an action picture. And to tell you the truth, action pictures are not my favorite kind of movie. So, okay, a lot of people love action pictures. Civil War is doing very well at the box office. And if you, dear listener, are one of the people who loves action movies, you'll probably have a good time at Civil War. There's a lot of shooting and chasing and hiding and stuff like that. Okay. But if you want something that has some kind of political sense to it, some kind of thing deeper than the action, to me, it just isn't there. So I'm afraid that I found Civil War to be just a real disappointment. It's a medium grade, okay level action movie, but I'm afraid that's all it is. Had a better time watching the second film I want to talk about today, which is Problemista, which is written and directed by Julio Torres, who also plays the leading role. So, yep, here we have another budding Orson Welles here, willing to do the whole thing and write and direct and play the lead and all of that. And it's a very nice movie. It's in no way a major movie, and it didn't exactly excite me, but I had a nice time watching it. It's likable. So, the main character is a young guy named Alejandro, who is from El Salvador, and he comes to the United States because he has a dream, and his dream is becoming a toy maker, designing and creating toys. What a nice dream for a young man to have. One of the things about this movie is that it is overloaded with brand names. This may be a little spillover effect from the recent Barbie movie, but anyway, one of the brand names is Hasbro. He really wants to work at Hasbro, but he doesn't get the job. They're giving him a hard time, they're giving him a runaround, and he's not sure when he's really going to get seriously considered for an entry-level job, if he ever will. So he's got to find some way of making a living, and that means he gets a job, and the job he gets is at, of all things, a cryogenics place where they freeze bodies for people who are wealthy enough to afford it, and hoping that it someday, long in the future, science will be able to unfreeze the bodies and bring them back to life and cure what was wrong with them. So he gets a job at this cryogenics place, and there he is assigned to one of the frozen people, an artist named Bobby. He painted eggs. Okay, that's kind of whimsical, and I rather like that. All right. However, this brings Alejandro into contact with the widow of the artist Bobby, who was frozen, Elizabeth. And she is very much not frozen. And she is played by the great, great, great actor Tilda Swinton. And I will watch Tilda Swinton in just about anything. And here, as always, she looks unique. She looks different from how she has ever looked before. And she looks totally persuasive, even though she is playing an extremely outrageous character who is always angry at everybody and always yelling at everybody and always being rude and this and that. But hey, she's played by Tilda Swinton, so I had a great time watching her. And she wants to curate a show of Bobby's work, her frozen husband. And so, Alejandro is on board for that. He's kind of an artist himself, sure. However, through all of this, Alejandro is dealing with the immigration authorities, who are aware that he has not gotten a job in America, and therefore he is actually due to be deported. So, okay, this movie is also about immigration. But I have to say, it is not a movie about immigration in the sense that we're always hearing about on the news these days, which is, you know, the presumed, supposed, alleged hordes of people coming across the southern border. He's just an ordinary young guy who just wants to get that job and wants to stay in America because he has a real program for his life and he wants to get started on it. However, now he's got to deal with Elizabeth at the same time that he's dealing with the immigration system. And all the time, he's still hoping to get that job at Hasbro sometime or other. So, as I've already said, Plobberista is not in any way a major film, but it's a very nice movie. Has some interesting characters. I should also mention he has a mother who becomes a character in the film, too. And she's interestingly acted and she's extremely sympathetic. And even though she's down there in El Salvador, she always wants to help her beloved son. So she's also an important character in the movie, and it's fun to watch her as well. So we have interesting characters, a nice, likable story, and perhaps above all, just a really amiable performance by Julio Torres. He's mainly known so far for TV work, but I think this movie shows that he has a future as a director, as a writer, and certainly as an actor. So Problemista, not a great film, but a nice one. And finally today, I would like to turn to the new movie by Woody Allen. Woody Allen is not very popular in some circle these days. He's been accused of some pretty awful stuff. I am by no means persuaded that he is necessarily guilty of the awful stuff that he has been accused of. So I put my cards on the table there. It's always possible, of course, but I really don't think that he probably has done the worst stuff that he's accused of. That said, I also rather like to separate the artist from the art. And Woody Allen has been an extraordinary artist in the world of cinema for many, many, many decades. And for most of that time, he has made pretty much a movie a year. Some of them have been really bad. Some of them have been really excellent. The overall level, I think, has been good to very good. So he's just a really, really fine filmmaker. And again, he's done it all in his time. He writes, he directs, he stars, he does all these things. And he does not appear in Coup de Chance, his new movie, but he is very much the writer-director, and it is very much a Woody Allen movie. So the title, translated as Stroke of Luck, and it returns to a theme that Woody Allen really, really likes, which is, and he's dealt with it before, which is the idea that chance, happenstance, haphazard things play an enormous role in our lives, and that includes when real moral issues are involved. He's made some really interesting movies that deal with people who commit terrible crimes, and it looks like they are going to get away with those crimes. And this is just something that fascinates Woody Allen, and going long, long back before he was accused of the current things that sort of hover over his career. Crimes and Misdemeanors is quite an early film of his, which deals very much with that theme, and it's an excellent film. Match Point is another excellent film many, many years ago that deals with that theme. Cassandra's Dream, not such a major film, but, you know, it's another one. He's dealt with this theme before. Now he is dealing with it in this movie. And so what we have is we have a woman who, at the beginning of the film, she runs into an old chum of hers from school. And they get to talking, and then they decide to sort of maybe have coffee or a lunch or something like that. They are in Paris, by the way. This is a French film. And so they do. They get together. And yes, sparks begin to fly between the two of them. They have not had a romance before, but it turns out that he had a crush on her way back in school, and now he's run into her, and he really, really would like to get together with her. Okay. In the meanwhile, she has a husband, a very wealthy and successful husband in the business world, and he does not seem to be a very, upright character. He seems to be threatening to her, and he certainly seems to be perhaps shady in his business dealings. So now she starts to have an affair with her old high school chum. In the meanwhile, we have this husband hanging over her, and he starts to suspect that she is having the affair. And if he is, in fact, the kind of shady, seamy, perhaps dangerous person that we start to suspect maybe he is, then maybe there is some danger lurking for his wife, for his wife's lover, and we will see what comes of all of this. Okay, Woody Allen is now working in France. This is a French movie. It is in French. I think it is beautifully directed. It is very nicely done. It is very, very well acted by its French cast. Above all, it is magnificently and superbly and supremely photographed by the great, great, great cinematographer Vittorio Storaro, who absolutely makes every single shot of the movie into an absolute treat for the eyes. It is a gorgeous, beautiful, overwhelmingly sweet movie just to look at. So on that ground alone, it is totally, totally, totally worth looking at. Story-wise, interesting story. Pretty suspenseful. Beautifully acted. Beautifully photographed, if I haven't mentioned that. I totally recommend Coup de Chance. It is not one of the very, very finest Woody Allen movies, but it's a very, very good Woody Allen movie, and I'm just glad to see that he's still able to work. Even though he's moved out of the United States, he's apparently got a base of operations in Europe, and he's working, and he's doing good work, and I'm in his corner. And so that is my really, I hope, very supportive story this week.
For which we thank you as ever and always, David Sterrett, Films in Focus, the films Civil War, Problemista, and Coup de Chance.
Films in Focus with David Sterrett is underwritten by The Movie House, your destination for first-run Hollywood and independent movies, and a digital portal to the Met Opera, National Theater Live, and special events worldwide in Millerton, New York, and on the web, themoviehouse.net.